don't need no education.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, welcome back to Education Nation, Saturday morning, 10:30 on Club 1220. We're so happy to have you joining us. And this is Rebecca Hagstrom, your host, along with my co-host, Pete Hagstrom.
It is great to be here every Saturday morning with you.
I enjoy
a true expert on educational issues. Like you said, you've got a day job here, too.
There we go.
At Liberty Classical Academy, which everyone should check out. A fantastic school. I'm a parent there. That's part of the reason I'm here behind the microphone. But we're really excited about today's show, which is about standardized testing. I think a topic that confronts a lot of people, especially in public schools, but every school. And it's a fun show because we're only going to spend about 10 or 11 minutes here talking about the history and some standardized testing, and then we're bringing in a parent. So folks listening now, stick around. About 10, 12 minutes from now, we're bringing on a local parent who's going to talk about her experience, how she got involved in talking about, discovered what was happening with standardized testing, and kind of did something about it and really started a reaction amongst teachers and parents that was fascinating, and it's going to be really interesting to talk to her. So stick around. That's a little tease for the folks out there listening right now.
Yes.
We've got a great interview coming in on the back side of the show, but we're talking about standardized testing, Rebecca, and tell me why standardized testing in public schools, what the history is. Is it excessive? What does it mean?
Yes. Well, actually, you know, standardized tests go way back. We probably, for all of us in this listening audience, we remember having standardized tests ourselves, right?
Yep.
And that's not a bad thing to have a standardized test, you know, once a year or so, which is what we do at our school. But what has happened is that in the last 15, 20 years, things have changed a lot. And it's a result of a study that came out in 1983 called A Nation at Risk. And this is a watershed study that showed that the nation's schools and school children were not in good shape. And so since then, there have been a number of tries at trying to fix our educational system. Many people will be familiar with the term No Child Left Behind. That was President Bush's fix. And then when President Obama came into office, then they pushed what was ending up to be called Common Core, but it was through Race to the Top grants.
Sure.
So without getting into too much of the weeds on the history of all that, the whole idea was we need to have standards. We need to have testing. We need to make sure these kids are learning. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was a lofty goal in the sense that they wanted all the children to be successful, right? We want to help kids be successful.
Sure.
So I believe that the motives are pure. But unfortunately, what's happened is that this idea of standards and standardized testing has taken over education and it's become mechanistic. And part of that is through all the technology that's been added to the whole curriculum and testing scene. But some of it is just simply because so much time is being taken to prep, test, prep, test, prep, test. And parents sometimes don't even know this. In fact, what you're going to hear from our guest later is she didn't know that either when she and I got talking about this a few weeks ago. So we need to be asking the right questions, but unfortunately, testing has really begun to drive the curriculum and drive the time that the teachers are having with their students in the classroom.
That's so interesting, because I would be one probably to ask a lot of those questions. You can't blame a politician in Washington who wants every kid to have an equal opportunity,
right,
which is the premise of America,
yes,
public education system that lifts everyone up and gives everyone an equal shot at the American dream. You want schools to work. I actually remember looking at, I was 3 years old when that study came out, but I've seen that through my education, this realization that, holy cow, we thought we had this holy grail education system, and we don't. So politician after generation have tried to fix it, usually by throwing more money at it or building newer schools. But now standardized testing's in vogue. And I'll say I had a bit of a bias toward this belief that, hey, why is standardized testing bad? Why would I not want my kid being tested to see if they're meeting the standard or not meeting the standard, maybe hold teachers accountable because of it? And you've educated me a lot on it, but give us a better sense as to what really are the pitfalls of standardized testing, because we all want standards, as you said.
Right.
Testing is going to have to happen in schools to find out where kids are. But what is it? How excessive is it really getting, mm-hmm. and how does it manifest itself? Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you, for one hand, one of the demonstrations of how excessive it's getting is that this is drawing both parties together.
Whoa! You know it's a problem when there's bipartisanship breaking out somewhere.
There is a teacher from Osseo that was representing Education Minnesota speaking before the Senate committee here in Minnesota, begging them to break the cycle of prep, test, and more test. Yes. So I think that's one indication that we've gone too far. But honestly, we do, like we said, we do all want standards. But we're going to talk in a few weeks about Common Core state standards and the problem with those. But when you have a single set of standards, what happens is that ends up driving the curriculum.
Sure.
And the tests to measure those standards then also drive the curriculum.
Absolutely. It's the incentives for the school.
Right. Which on the outside might not sound so bad until you start to think about individual children and the fact that these are little kids, human beings. They're not machines. They're not robots. We're not programming with all the right information to get them to spit out the right answer. So when we try to start relying on data for determining whether children have learned, we're missing out. And in fact, again, with our guest that you're going to hear this afternoon, the data drove a decision that the school made for her child versus what they could intuitively see from how he was doing in his classes. So it's removing some of the thought that goes into teaching. Teachers are becoming almost as though they were technicians. It's removing their ability to be creative, their ability to really initiate their own ideas and lessons, because they're so having to be glued to the curriculum that is driven by the testing, which is driven by the standards.
And which are driven from Washington, D.C., which all great things come from Washington, D.C.
Yes, yes. And actually, David Coleman, who is now head of College Board, is the one who kind of headed up all of this writing of the Common Core state standards. And technically, they didn't come out of Washington, D.C., but the money that sponsored them came out of Washington, D.C., and then that money forced the hand of the states by saying, you do the standards, we'll give you the money.
If you don't do the standards, you don't get the money. It's the old power of the purse that Washington is so very good at. But to your point, individual students, individual families, individual communities and school districts and metro areas and rural areas and states have always been where education was grounded, right? The old PTA, the old school board with parents involved and getting a sense of what they're... And you could always move somewhere else if you didn't feel like those community standards met the needs of your kids. I mean, that's very much how a lot of people view education in America.
Right. It's supposed to be local.
It's supposed to be local. But when you do it from the top, now everyone's doing the same thing, and it creates all those cascading pressures, which I think is what you're talking about.
Right. And not only is it very difficult for the kids from that standpoint that, you know, they have to kind of fit into this little round hole, right? They might be a square peg and they don't fit into the round hole. But on top of all of this, because everything has moved to being so computerized, a lot of that curriculum and testing is being done on computers. And, you know, I wouldn't think
would be a bad thing, but you've really helped clarify what the complications could be. I think you've got a great example of that.
Yeah. I have this great quote from a teacher. He actually comes out of New Mexico, and he's discussing in this quote, the problem with what happens to little kids when they are having to take a test on a computer, and that test will determine the course of their future education, which is also a change from how things used to be. Exactly. High stakes testing. So here's what Howard says. His name is Howard. How is 9 hours split between paper and pencil written responses on the PARC, PBA, and computer-based assessment requiring highlighting, drag and drop, split screen navigation, keyboarding skills at a fluent level, i.e. fifth grade able to type around 40 words per minute, 2 pages in 30 minutes, and how can that be better than typical testing? Yes, he says, third graders are expected to have these skills, and if they don't, then the test shows them as failing, regardless of their ability to read, to write, to compute, to think. The first thing kids now must learn in order to show what they know is how to take the test and how to keyboard. This replaces other learning There is only so much time in a day and only so much a child can do before fatiguing.
Wow, so powerful. Keyboarding is a technique. It's a skill. It's not knowledge.
Right.
And if you can't do the skill or the medium of technology, you're not going to pass that test.
Right, right. And the split screen. I mean, really?
Drag, drop.
A third grader?
Well, I just mentioned 2 pages, 40 words a minute. I remember taking keyboarding just as a skill in junior high,
right.
And we couldn't even do that. I mean, it's not easy to learn how to do that in real time and not do the one finger plunk. And to ask a third or fourth grader to do that, holy cow.
Well, and the question is why? What is the point of this? Why can't we, in these lower school years especially, take the time to just teach them the basics? These kids need to know how to read, write, and do math. Why would we take time away from the teaching to train them how to take a standardized test online?
And good teachers will know how to deliver reading, writing, and arithmetic. And this is where I'm biased toward Liberty Classical Academy, because you have the stages of logic, you know, all the different rhetoric and all the I butchered their order.
Grammar, logic, and rhetoric.
Grammar, logic, rhetoric. But you guys do it right. And the nice part is we're about to take a quick break here, but we're going to hear from a reluctant parent who found out about standardized testing and how they impact her kids.
Yes.
So if folks stick around, Rebecca, you're going to, I believe, lead this interview, and I think it's going to be fascinating.
Yes, stay around.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
And we are back and really excited about this final segment. We've been talking about it all morning, Rebecca, and we're finally here to this interview.
Yes, we are. Standardized testing. This is the topic of the day. And I'll tell you, there's so much to delve into. And we're so happy that we have a guest in the studio with us this morning. And she is planning on sharing with us an experience that she had. And Janae, you and I have known each other a little bit in the past, but what really drew the two of us together was a Facebook post that you posted, probably about a month ago now. And I happened to see it while I was actually driving from my son's college in Hillsdale to Chicago. And I was so blown away by your post and all the comments that were coming from it. Can you share with us a little bit about what that post was and what led up to that post?
And welcome.
Oh. Yes, and welcome. Sure. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Welcome, Janae.
Thank you, and thanks for having me today. Yes, I would love to share with you. It was about a little over a month ago that my husband and I had gone in to talk to our son's math teacher and the principal of his school, and also the gifted and talented specialist at the school about his math placement, because we didn't feel like he was being challenged in his current class. And it was during that meeting that we were told that he was skipping some units in his math class and not quite sure why the units were being skipped. So I asked the question, and we were told that the units were being skipped because they were just focusing on units that would be covered on the upcoming MCAs.
Which is just shocking, isn't it?
Yes.
And you must have just had quite a strong reaction.
Right. Well, I kind of sat there dumbfounded, surprised that they would so openly tell us that. Of course, my first question was, well, what are on the units that are being skipped? And to our surprise, the units that were being skipped were geometry, basic pre-algebra, things that I kind of deem as basic math units that they should be covering.
Exactly.
So that was a little bit alarming. I then also asked the principal when the MCAs would be assessed in the spring, and she said that they don't have a date as of right now, but that it would happen in the spring. And my reason for asking that question is I was hoping that once the MCAs were done, would they be returning to those units and getting those units covered? And the response was, well, if we have time, that's certainly what we would like to achieve, which didn't satisfy me very much because I feel like those units should be covered. And it was then that my husband and I left and realized that the kids are really being taught to the test and that this is happening in our school, and mm-hmm. we were kind of unaware of it, and mm-hmm. it just didn't sit well with us. And so I don't usually post things that are very controversial on Facebook, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to see what the reaction was and if I was wrong to be feeling the way that I was about our school. And mm-hmm. more importantly, I was concerned that the high test scores that our district publicizes, mm-hmm. Is it because they teach the test and that's mm-hmm. why our students do so well? Or is it because we have the great teachers mm-hmm. and motivated students and mm-hmm. good resources? Mm-hmm. And the latter is what I was hoping for. So I posted on Facebook and kind of just said what was said in the meeting and asked if I was wrong to feel this way. And how everybody else thought. And
good for you to do that, by the right. way, because not yes. a lot of people would take that step.
Right.
Good,
right.
good on you.
It's courageous. Right.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Well, I was overwhelmed by the response that I got immediately. I had numerous people that reacted the same way I did, that mm-hmm. they were surprised that the district would so openly admit that they were teaching to the test.
Right.
But also, I think I was a little bit more surprised at the fact that people were a little laissez-faire about it. Like, yes, we mm-hmm. know this is a problem, and yes, this happens not only at our district, but at so many other public school districts in the state, that we should just accept it because that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was somewhat irritating to read, too.
Right, as though there were no right. different course.
Right, mm-hmm. as though there was no different mm-hmm. course. And the other thing that really hit home was, well, these posts weren't made public. I received numerous private messages from teachers in our district and parents in our district mm-hmm. that didn't want to openly comment but wanted me to know that they appreciated that I brought up this conversation because mm-hmm. it's one that we should all be having mm-hmm. and that standardized testing in our public schools are a problem, and the fact that teachers are feeling trapped mm-hmm. to be scorekeepers and basically mm-hmm. just teach to the test mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it determines their pay or it determines how well the district fares and how much money they get from the state, that it's a real problem and mm-hmm. the conversation needs to be had.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent, Janae. And yeah, you well are said. Hitting on every single piece of information that we've been talking about earlier with respect to standardized testing and why they are dangerous. And dangerous isn't maybe the right word, but why they are not good for our students in the public schools today. And I know that earlier when we had some conversation, you mentioned that not only were the teachers upset by the fact that they were having to teach to the test, but they were also frustrated with the frequency and the amount of time. Can you address that a little bit, what you were hearing from the teachers that were private sure. messaging you?
Sure, yes. I had one teacher specifically say that, and I'm, again, not a person in the education industry, so a lot of this is new terminology to me, but mm-hmm. she made a comment that our district just adopted standardized report cards mm-hmm. and basically to deem whether or not a child is successful at school or how successful they are in their report card, more testing was going on. And this testing, of course, is happening inside the classroom, so it's taking away from daily learning. And so that was kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. That same teacher also told me that my daughters are in fifth grade and that they currently have 2 days a week of social studies. And the reason they only have 2 days and not five is because social studies is not taught on the MCAs and that more time needs to be focused on math and science, which, again, it just led to more and more conversation and frustration that they're kind of being, they're focusing on things that are really to help the school better market itself or maybe get more money and not necessarily helping the lifelong learning process of the children.
Exactly.
In fact, my girlfriend actually just shared with me today an interesting analogy that she said just weighing a pig doesn't make it fatter.
Oh, yeah, what a great analogy.
Right, and I just thought that that's so
perfect.
True. You know, you can weigh it every day and the act of weighing it itself is not going to make it any fatter. And I feel like that's the case with testing to our our kids. Just by constantly giving them tests is not helping them achieve a love for lifelong learning or curiosity, and it's, they should be focused more on the mindset of the child and the learning process itself. And that's, I think, what we've missed because we've been so focused on these standardized tests.
Exactly. And another piece that ties in with that really quickly, I know we're running short on time here, but one of the things we also discussed earlier is the whole topic of the fact that these kids are on computers so much because the testing is taking place on computers. And the amount of time and resource that's being spent on that, even you know, you said, I didn't really know until I started asking these questions. And you're finding out kids as young as first grade are going through this.
And I... my husband and I are fortunate our kids do well on standardized tests, so I guess I had never really taken notice. But yes, the amount of testing that I have recently become aware of and the amount of research that I've done in this last month trying to understand standardized testing more, it's alarming that it is happening at such an earlier age, and it seems like more and more tests are being implemented every year.
Janae, you know, it's really cool to sit here with you, almost a reluctant participant in this, an engaged parent who cares about her kids and what they do, not an activist, not looking to throw bombs or get people in trouble. You know, what's your advice, just briefly, to other parents? Is it just ask those questions, get a sense of what those tests are? How does a parent out there listening today know whether or not their kids are overburdened by standardized testing?
I mean, yes, absolutely, asking the question. In fact, that was one of the first thing I asked our kids when they got home that day from the meeting, is if they felt overwhelmed by the amount of standardized testing happening at the school. And the sad thing is that they really don't know any differently. So it's not...
That's a good point.
They don't even know.
They don't know any other way. But I think asking the right questions, it was really surprising and alarming to me that units were being skipped specifically to teach to a standardized test. I would have never asked that question if it didn't come up. And that is something that I think parents should definitely be aware of. And
well, and the standardized report cards means that the teachers, like you used the phrase, I think, scorekeeper. I mean, ultimately, they're put in a box on how they evaluate the kids based on a test, as opposed to that love of learning and the flexibility some teachers have to really enrich those kids in their classroom.
Which is why they're afraid to speak out publicly. You know, it's kind of sad that they had to feel like they needed to private message you. And, you know, we all understand, you know, wanting to protect a job, but the fact that they would have to be concerned about their jobs for speaking out against the amount of standardized testing, to me, is a sad statement and a sorry state of affairs, really, for what's happening in our school districts. And what we know is that this is not limited to the school district you reside in. This is a problem all across the nation. And that's what is causing people to kind of wake up and start these, some of these opting out programs that you're starting to see from some of the Common Core tests. But your story is really powerful because it did just fall in your lap. You weren't looking for it. You didn't even go into the meeting asking about standardized testing. You went into the meeting because you had some concerns about the level of math that your son was in. So pretty amazing. And that's kind of one final point I wouldn't mind touching on, Pete, if we can take a little extra time, is what brought you in there in the first place, because I thought that was interesting too, if you don't mind sharing briefly about that.
Our son, he's a third grader this year. In second grade, he was in accelerated math. And in third grade, at the start of third grade, we were told that they were going to move him down to what they call 1+, which is basically third grade, and then going into a little bit of fourth grade by the end of the school year is the hopes. And we were okay with that because they said that he was a few points away, based on testing, to not being accelerated. But it was evident very early on that it was not the right class for him, that he was not being challenged, and he was doing exceptionally well, getting 100% on everything, not bringing home homework. So the meeting that we had a little over a month ago was actually our second meeting, trying to figure out a way to get our son more challenged. And unfortunately, the district's response was that their hands were kind of tied, that based on where he was on paper, that that was where he was supposed to stay, even though he clearly is not being challenged.
Bored. He's getting hundreds and knows all the information.
Correct. Yeah. So, I don't know. That was, we were kind of frustrated with the bureaucracy of that as well, because he wasn't being challenged. And once we dove a little bit deeper into the real reasons why they weren't going to move him, and that was because the class above had already 32 kids in it, and that was kind of the issue. But the sad thing is, so we're now, he's now a year, almost a year into third grade, and he probably won't get the opportunity to be accelerated.
Right.
Whereas in the fall, if they would have let him rise up instead of stay complacent, he might have met the challenge. And and as parents, it's hard to see when your kid has more in the tank to give and they're not being pushed. It's it's frustrating to watch.
Yes, it is. So. Yeah. Yeah, because it sets the tone for the future, too.
Right.
You want them to always have to be working hard to achieve. And that's what allows them to go as hard, as high as they can go.
Right. So. And we kept saying in the fall that just let him try. And, you know, we will totally understand if he's not able to meet that challenge and you have to move him back down. That was okay with us. And we know that that would be okay with him. But they wouldn't do it. So as parents, we just kind of kept pushing. And it was during the second meeting that just kind of came up about the standardized testing and frustrated that units are being skipped. Mm-hmm.
And so you said the teacher and the principal both just basically said it very nonchalantly.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, we skipped those because they're not on the test.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow, powerful.
There you go. Yeah.
So happy to have you and sharing your story today.
Thanks, Jeanette,
thank
for having
you.
Me.
No, I'm glad we, Rebecca, I'm glad we saved so much time at the end for this interview.
Me
I mean, we can talk about it.
Yes.
But, and this isn't just a national thing. I mean, this is right here, a quality school district here in Minnesota.
Right.
You know, East Metro, it is what it is. And we're facing it, and good people are trying to do the best by their children, and I think that's what this show is about. How do we improve the educational experience?
Absolutely.
So, Jeanette,
and I
we're
just
grateful.
Wanted to say one quick thing too, and that's I do think being a teacher is a really noble job, and I think our teachers are really trying hard, and I do feel bad because I feel that they're trapped in what they can do, and that their hands are tied a little bit, and I feel that a lot of them are just as frustrated as the parents. So I just wanted to put that out there, too, because I think they take a lot of the heat sometimes because they're the ones that have to enforce a lot of this.
Just as frustrated as the parents. And you know what? They're looking for someone that can speak it. And clearly you've tapped into that.
Yes.
You know, they a voice that gives voice to their frustration. As you said, Rebecca, they're not able to go public on it for whatever reason. Even more powerful what you did. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right, too. Absolutely. We know those teachers are working hard and want the best for their kids.
No doubt. All right, Jeanette, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Jeanette. Have a great rest of your Saturday morning.
Absolutely.
And that brings us to the end of another Education Nation, Rebecca.
Yes, join us next week when we are going to be continuing this conversation about standardized testing. And
looking at where this
is
headed.
Big,
this is just the beginning of this conversation. More next week.
Right.
We're going to continue to unpack this topic. Tune in Saturday mornings, 10:30. And in the meantime, check out what Rebecca does in her day job. Liberty Classical Academy at libertyclassicalacademy.org. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you, Pete.